All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and let's open them to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And Bishop preached most of my message there. And Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. It was something interesting he said, and I want to comment on it. He said that it's a difference. You can go to certain places and that place will be used to birth children. But then you can go to other places and it can birth destinies. I have noticed consistently how people come through here, and when they come through here, they get launched into something worldwide, something that's bigger than just a community or something. And so when he speaks things, I try to put myself in there and see where we fall in that place. Not that one is more valuable than the other, because it's God who selects it. The other thing is wells. One of the key properties of a well is that it eliminates the process. So I think some of that is what I was going to talk about today. All right, let's look here at, as you know, I'm a kingdom preacher, so I'm going to continue along that vein this morning. God told me to do that. Verse 14 and 15. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, again, we talk about the word repent with the prefix re having to do with do again, or to go back to the original state, or backward to some former state that was there. And this repentance having to do with going back to a former state. Now, as we look at this, I often take people to Joel chapter 2. And he says that let's go back there very quickly. Joel chapter 2, J-O-E-L. And in Joel chapter 2, also Bishop made, he alluded to these scriptures as well. Verse 23, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately and caused to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." This whole idea of open heavens, I talked to Bishop Oedipo out of Nigeria. Basically, he says, and I think I heard it from him directly or through somebody else, he hadn't personally prayed for anything for himself in 8 years, that the heavens are just open. It just comes. And so you can be in a place, the heavens are open over your life. You don't have to pray for anything. It just, he knows that the gifts of God are just pouring forth, and it looks like everything is there when you need it, and so forth and so on. Abundance, there it is. Verse 24, "And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil." And I always underline the word overflow, because a lot of people are dealing in just enough and scarcity. But God deals in overflow. In verse 25, "And I'll restore to you the years of the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and palm worm, my great army, which I sent among you." Each one of those has a symbolism. "And ye shall eat plenty," I like to underline plenty, "and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." I'll just stop right there for right now. But he says, "I'll restore to you the years." And when I say years, I'm going all the way back to Adam, and going all the way back to the time that Adam, of course, was in the garden, and the things and talents and gifts and anointings that he and Eve carried when they were first coming into this earth. And God kind of gave us a glimpse of those when he had Noah 3 sons, and those gifts were dispersed throughout the earth. Now, when we come back and look at this whole idea of what's going on today, I want to kind of give you some things that God kind of shared with me. We're entering into a time now of a divine campaign. That's the word that was given to me, divine campaign. And God says he wants everybody to be combat ready. Well, he talks to me like that because he knew I knew what that meant. And combat ready had to do with really having everything in your organization organized, having your capacity set, having it so that everything what we call is OR. Now that's a term that we used when I was in Vietnam. The airplanes, so you want to ask a question. The general will come on the base and say, how many OR airplanes we've got? Operational ready. How many airplanes do we have that are ready to fly, no flaws, ready to go, ready to fight the war? And there's always some that are down. In other words, you have some airplanes on the flight line that are in going through some kind of mechanical changes or something was wrong with them on the last flight and people trying to fix them. But what we want to do is we want to get everybody operational ready. And we want to get our ministries such that when people get born again and saved, that it can be just like a well-oiled machine. People will take them from there. They'll be taken from there to the rooms that we have for counseling, or take them to water baptism, or take them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or take them right into the new members classes that we might have. And inside of that, Jesus said to pray that all that God has given us, we've lost none. That it won't be that every time we save, get 10 saved, five of them will get away. We don't want that. We've had that kind of business. You know, the enemy comes immediately when the word is sown to steal the word. So he comes to try to bring us back and make our efforts, negate our efforts. So what we want to do is we want to really enter into this thing combat ready now. We want our labor to not be in vain. We want to be able to fulfill the purpose that God has for the church. Now, as I look at that and look at one of the purposes that God has for the church is the church has an anointing, really, to rule this earth. The church has an anointing to rule this earth. And God wants to put us up in the positions of rulership. And I believe that's one of the main things that the enemy knows about and is trying to fight against. He doesn't want that to manifest. Now, some things have to happen for that to manifest. The first thing that has to happen is that the church has got to grow up. And so what we've been is we've been spending our time on a lot of milk and a lot of distractions and things that don't even matter. And God now wants us to come back and focus in on the real deal. It's interesting what Jesus said. Let's come on over here to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Praise God in heaven. In John chapter 10, Jesus said something, and I won't read all the commentary there. I'll just start right at this verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. If you look at that next chapter, that's chapter 11, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The thing that happened with Lazarus is when he was sick, and Jesus was supposed to go up there. Of course, they came down and wanted Jesus to panic and go up there right away, but Jesus was operating beyond the limits of time. So he waited two more days, and then he went up. When he went up, there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days, already stinking, and Jesus, as you know, raised him up. And of course, any cells that were destroyed in his body, they got replenished and repaired and so forth. And Jesus, of course, was giving us a glimpse of the resurrection. But in this particular idea, he came from the resurrection. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and came into this time, and he was showing how God has dominion through us, has dominion in this earth over everything, the kingdom of God. So in this teaching next, and John chapter 12, then what happened was verse 1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, it's interesting because some people were looking for this Lazarus. They wanted to see this. Look at verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how he prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Now, it says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. The whole world wants to see Jesus. Now, they might not know they want to see Jesus, but they do. They're looking for Jesus because he is everything that they would ever need in this earth to lead a good life. Now, I'm only saying that to say that a lot of times we do a lot of preaching, but where are the miracles? Where is the manifestation of what we're talking about? I don't think it was ever meant that we do this much teaching and preaching without some manifestation going forth. And I think without that manifestation, what we're doing is we're getting some. Oh, yeah, we're getting some people saved here and there and so forth. But if we go back and look at the model over in Acts chapter 2, we'll see that, hey, at that time, 3,000 got saved. And then we go in chapter 4 and 5, and we see 5,000 got saved. How would you like to bring 3,000 in 1 week, 5,000 in another week? I mean, now that's doing the job. But I'm saying that is still only a church that is very young. When we come into maturity, I'm talking about we can go into a place where we can get nations saved in a day. Now, when you start thinking about this in your natural mind and try to play it out in your natural logical thinking, you're going to come up with a tilt because it is not going to register. So you got to stop thinking on those lines. Now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah chapter 55. And I'm going to just kind of talk out of my heart here. I've prepared some things, but I'm just kind of talk out of what I feel in my heart. Look at verse Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, he didn't mean that you couldn't get there. He means that they're not there. He's talking about these people who have fallen below that which God had ordained for man to walk in. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Very, very powerful verse. One of the things that God has planned is that every word that he will speak in this earth will come to pass. Every word that he has spoken in this earth will come to pass. Now, I like that, especially when I read the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Man, I read that all the time. I read these two verses together. I say, praise the Lord. Now, so as we look at this, he said, repent and believe the gospel. Good news, news from heaven. So now we're entering into, I think, what I would call probably the last phase or the end time anointing. Now, in this, we're going to see high manifestations. We're going to see things that will confound people, even probably some church folk. We're going to talk about reconnecting heaven and earth. I believe when Adam sinned in the garden, that whole sin brought a disconnect. I think that he said he walked in the garden, and he said that in the garden he walked and the voice of the Lord. Let me just read that to you. You don't need to turn there. Praise God. He was saying in Genesis chapter 3 that they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. And that voice, I said, I really believe that that voice was the Word. In other words, the Word was in the garden. So as we look at this, I believe we're going to see us come back up to kingdom class. We're going to come back up to the God class of operation. We're going to be walking and talking with God. I mean that we're going to be able to hear His voice clearly and for Him to speak directly to our spirits, and we be able to do that. Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me. What? He's doing the work. All right, let me go to another place. He's raising up a new generation of leadership. Let's go to Joshua, please, and Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. As you know, Joshua was taking over from a man who had pretty big shoes, a man named Moses. And here's Joshua taking over and about to take the children of Israel on into their inheritance. Look what it says in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, his minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, let me just stop right there. Now, this whole idea about the gospel is not about something that's going to happen. The gospel is about something that has already happened. There is nothing God is going to do for you that He has not already done. There is nothing that God is going to do for you that He has not already done. One more time. There is nothing that God is going to do for you that He has not already done. All right. So, one of the things that we're going to have, if we're going to be operating on this level, is we're going to have something called revelation knowledge. Say revelation. Look at verse 5, by the way, says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. All you have to do is go back, start at Exodus 23 and see how he was with Moses. Start at Exodus 15, start at Exodus 12 and 14. Just see how he was with Moses. That's the way he's going to be with us. Look what it said in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, this particular verse changed my life. This is a time that my wife and I, we had just started the ministry. We're here. We had just moved from Lake and Pulaski in the west side of Chicago on to Forest Park. Once we moved here, we were trying to, some of the people didn't come because they didn't feel led to come for some reason, and they didn't come. So now we're wondering. I said, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? We have about 12 or 15 families. I said, Lord, what are we going to do? We got rent to pay and so forth. And God said, get your eyes off of man and start looking to me. Praise God. And that's when, you know, sometimes you can think that you know something, but you don't know what you know until the pressure comes on and you're going to find out what you know. And so I started looking to God. And also what happened then was Dr. Price was having a meeting, one of the first meetings that he'd ever had, and he was inviting ministers to come. It was called FIC WIFM, Fellowship of Inner City Word of Faith Ministries. And my wife and I just felt led in our hearts that we wanted to go. So what do? We believe God for some money. Now, about 3 days before we were supposed to go, money came in. Somebody came to the apartment we were staying in and counted us out $1,100. You remember that, baby? And I'm telling you, we took that money. We rejoiced all around that apartment. So we took that money and went. But this was his particular message. He preached a whole meeting on that particular scripture right there. And it changed my life forever. Because the first thing I found out that it wasn't up to God to make me successful. It wasn't up to God. That's the first thing I had to find out, that God has already made me successful. Now there's some things that I've got to do so that I can put that all together. So I'm thinking it's all up to God. I just left it up to God. Well, praise God. If God's going to bless me, He's going to bless me. He's not going to bless me, not ready to bless me, and so forth. And then I had to come in here and find out some things. Now, the Word of God is interesting because once you get the Word, it's a seed. Say seed. And if you know anything about the tree, everything is in the seed. You know what I mean? The leaves are in the seed, the branches are in the seed, the fruit are in the seed, all the things are in the seed. And I just found out when you start meditating that word, it does everything for you. If there's other scriptures that you should learn, it'll take you to those other scriptures. It does everything for you. If there's somebody that needs to come witness to you, you confessing that word will put it on their heart that night, and they'll come the next day and say, you know, I just dreamed about you had an airplane. Praise God. You'll say, hallelujah. I'm just saying everything is in that seed. So if you get that seed is all you need. Now, you don't need to memorize and meditate the whole book. It didn't say that. It's talking about a word. One word from God will produce a supernatural in your life. All he told Peter was come. That come made him dominate gravity or the law, natural laws in this earth. Now, I'm just saying I took that particular scripture. Now, that scripture took me from the natural into the supernatural. Again, the word Hebrew in the Hebrew, the kingdom of God, Melchizedek, means supernatural. So as we look at this, let's go on down here because God is still talking to Joshua here. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Listen at the next part. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Glory to God. Now, this is kind of interesting here. He said, I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to follow you only if God is going to show himself with you as he was with Moses. And a lot of times we're trying to talk people into the kingdom of God. I think God never meant for all this word to go forth without some works. We got to show some people who our God is. Because what they did on that mountain is they came up against Elijah and he said, hey, let's see whose God is really Lord. Amen? And I'm just saying in our lives, people want to see some things. I mean, they want to see. This is a sign and a wonder for them. And I remember what they told me when it was time to get this mall. Now, I had been meditating Joshua 1:3, so whatever they told me, it didn't count. So what happened is they told me, well, God, I don't believe they want, talking about the political structure around here, I don't believe they want a black man to really own that mall, be in position to own that mall, especially the preacher. Well, that didn't make any difference to me, you see, because I had a greater reality in my heart. And so I want to go right now into something I call revelation knowledge. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I think for us to get a manifestation, we need a revelation. And sometimes God's people don't slow down enough to get a revelation. We're busy going from meetings to meetings. And all you need to do is go to one meeting, get one word, and go meditate that dude. I'm telling you. And out of that word, good things will come. Look what it says here. And this is chapter 2 and verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them which are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, or rulers of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified who? The Lord of glory. So one of the first things that happens when you start meditating the word of God is the wisdom of God begins to come through. Now, what happened with me? I'm meditating the word, and notice what happened. I'd gone over there to the village, and they called me and said, hey, they're not letting us have a church in this particular facility, in this mall. I don't care whether you own it or not. We've zoned it out. I said, oh, my Lord. So we sent the attorneys over there. So the attorneys went over there to meet with the village officials. And I'm not talking down about them or anything like that because I know it's the devil's behind all of it. So what happened was they met with them, met with their attorneys, and rumor was they almost got in a fight over there. And so what happened, they came back and told me, Pastor Winston, it seems like it's a situation here that we're going to have to resolve in court. I said, okay, how long is that going to take? Well, it could take up to 5 years. 5 years? Man, I got to be in there tomorrow night. And so what happened is I had to go back to the Word of God. So when that happens, a lot of times when things happen that are too deep for me, I go home, go to bed, and pull a cover over my head. That's exactly what I do. Ask my wife. And see, because I know when I'm asleep, God's still at work. And sometimes Sometimes the enemy tricks us into going to fight our own battles. But all of these battles are too big for you. That's why you got the greater one in you. Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me. He's going to do the work. I'm just going to speak the word and believe. So what happened is I went home, went to bed, got up early that next morning. You know I'm praying now, boy. I'm telling you, you can really pray when you get backed up against the wall. I was on my knee. What is it, knee faith or whatever it is you're talking about? But I'm praying, boy, I'm telling you. Well, what happened? Now, I'm talking about the practical side of things. He's giving you some of the revelation. I'm talking about the practical side of things. So what happened now? I'm praying on my knees, and the Lord spoke. He said, get the Bible. Now, I'm hearing him now. Now, understand, this is where Adam walked. He walked and talked with God, and that's where God wants to bring us back to perfect fellowship. He wants to bring us back to a place where you're just walking down the street, and he's talking to you, and you talking to him. Praise God, that's where I want to be. So what happened is he spoke to me. He said, get the Bible. He said, get the Living Bible translation. And he said, I want you to read Romans 13, verses 1 through so-and-so, and I want you to take it and have your secretary to type it. Tell her to type it big enough so you won't have to use your glasses. Praise God. Now, God is talking to me about glasses, I'm telling you. So he knows us. Say amen to that. And I took that scripture, I took it, Pat typed it up for me, and I called for a meeting. She said, call for a meeting with the mayor. I called for a meeting with the mayor. They told me, I'm sorry, the mayor is busy today. Mr. Winston, is this about, Reverend Winston, is this about that mall? I said, yes, sir. Said, sir, we've met on that already. The commissioners have already voted on that, and so forth and so on. I said, sir, listen, wait a minute. I know what you've done. I said, but right now we are resident in this village, and I demand to see my mayor. And when I said that, he said, well, let me call you back in about 15 minutes. Call me back. He said, she'll see you at 12:30 for about 15 minutes. I said, all right, thank you. All right, so this is the first step. So here I go up there now, and I go in the office to meet with the mayor. Came in the office, introduced myself, very cordial, very nice. I ain't going in there mean-spirited and all that kind of stuff. I don't have to do that because God has already made me victorious. He's already made me victorious. And so what I did, I sat down, began to talk to her, chit-chat a little bit first, and she said, well, Reverend, what do you want? I said, we need to get in that building, that facility now. I got the church. We really don't have any place else to go. The place that we were in, now it's closed. We don't, so forth and so on. And I got a couple of 3,000 or 4,000 people. And she said, well, Reverend, we've already voted on that, so forth and so on. And then God said, read what I told you. I began to read her out of the Living Bible, because this might have been too, you know, Elizabethan for her. I read out of the Living Bible, and I began to read that what God told me. All of a sudden, halfway through it, she jumped up, just like she had seen a ghost or something, jumped up. Now, the Bible says that you can tell when you got the wisdom of God, because no man can gainsay, come on, or resist it. So what did I do? I read her the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the word of God. And I read that wisdom, and let me tell you, she jumped up, ran in the other room, and did something. Well, I heard that she had gone into the building commissioner and told the building commissioner, we got to get Reverend Winston. Is there any way we can get him in that place tonight? She came back out there to me, and she said, Reverend, I'm not sure what, I don't know what to do now. She said, listen, I'll call the commissioners. Will you be around for about 2 hours? Can I call you at your office? I said, yes, you can call me. He called me at the office about 2 hours. She said, I can't find anybody that can give me the authorization to do this. She said, Reverend, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to make a decision on this. You take your church and you go in there that night tonight and go and have your meeting tonight and let this be the only night now. You just go in there and have your meeting. I said, yes, ma'am. I put it there. I had it all right, but I never came out. You see, he told me to occupy and hold. That's what I'm talking about. All this revelation is for your demonstration. It's the only reason he gave you revelation. He's not wasteful. He didn't send you here to get all this revelation to sit up and say, oh, how good that was. You don't have a testimony without a test. You're going home, He's going to give you some orders to occupy. Let's take some land. He already gave you a key to it. He said, you can find the biggest building in town and walk around it.
Hallelujah.
You see, God is not, he's about to turn it over to us. This is our time, saints. You waiting on the move. We in the move. This is us. We're the harvesting generation. We're the ones that he's been waiting on. If you don't get the wealth, the enemy will triumph. The Bible says that the rich rule over the poor. Satan read that scripture. That's why he's trying to keep the rich. Because he knows that you cannot rule in this earth without financial empowerment. And they're trying to leave that out. Church is trying, well, I don't want that money. Well, Satan's got it. And the Bible says in Numbers 33, if you don't get it, he's going to vex you with it. And that's what he's doing. He's putting mess on TV and so forth. I like what the bishop said. Hey, wait a minute. I want the satellite. I want the satellite, and then I'm going to get you off of there. See, we're not coming to take sides. I understand the Democrats and Republicans. And God wants you to vote for somebody. But you ain't got to vote straight ticket. You vote for who God tells you to vote for. There are some people God is about to put in office. Come on, we're about to take everything, the education, the politics, and business back. We're going to take it all back. He's raising up godly men and women in business now that are going to have an anointing to raise up businesses overnight. I had somebody come in my office the other week, and they said, Pastor, we got a new invention. I said, where y'all coming from? Virginia. I saw you on TV, just wanted to share it with you. I said, what is it? He said, it's a new light invention. He said, my mother had been confessing over me. What was that she was confessing over him about? He was... He's a Thomas Edison of light. My mother's been confessing that over me since I was a little boy. Pastor, I have just invented a light that negates the light bulb. Come on, help me, somebody. You see, he's going to change our paradigm and our model for work. Because a lot of times what we've done is we've looked at the world and looked how the world has done things, and we've characterized ourselves by them and measured ourselves by them and look and see, this is the way we're supposed to act, and that's not the way we're supposed to be at all. And when you talk, well, let's go to a verse. Let's go to Luke. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Look at Luke chapter 5. Praise God. I want to get you turned on. Amen. You see, it's not you, it's a Father in you. He's going to do the work. He just needs you as a vessel. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Glory to God. Where did I tell you to turn? Luke chapter 5. Y'all got me preaching here. I didn't mean to preach. Glory to God. Now, look what it says here, and I want to read something that I brought for you. It says here, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And he said, and when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now that's not a drought, that's a draught. That's a great increase. And Simon answered him, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, come on. At thy word, I will do what? Let down the net. Anytime you believe and act on the word of God, it takes you into the supernatural. And nothing natural can stop it. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was what? Astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought in the ships to land, they forsook how much? All, and followed him because of that miracle that they saw. Now, I want to bring a couple points out here. I understand hard work. I understand that. If you don't believe I'm a hard worker, just ask my family. But God, in these last days, is giving us a well.
Glory to God. Can I say that?
See, some of the processes we're going around. And he's doing it because we're coming into that hour. We're preparing for Jesus' coming. And God's going to stay on timetable. So many people have we been trained in the fact of hard work, and that for us to get it done, it's going to take a certain amount of time and a certain amount of hard work and so forth to make it happen. I want to read this. This is coming out of a book about George Washington Carver. If you know him, raise your hand if you've heard of him before. Scientist, African-American, and he was in the early 1900s. Here's what he said. He said, "God is going to reveal to us things he's never revealed before if we put our hand in his. No books ever go into my laboratory. The things that I am to do and the way of doing it are simply revealed to me. I never have to grope for methods. No trial and error, no experiments." Come on, saints, we going somewhere. "The method is revealed to me the moment I am inspired to create something new, and without God to draw aside the curtain, I'd be helpless." So he doesn't have to take any experimental books and any old notes and so forth, and doesn't have to take any. Just walks in there, closes the door behind him, and here it comes. Not only that, he invented over 300 discoveries from the sweet potato, over 118 from the soybean, including cosmetics, face powder, lotion, shaving cream, vinegar, oil, a cold cream, printer's ink, salad oil, rubbing oil, instant coffee, leather stains for mahogany, blue synthetic tapioca, egg yolk flour, toxic colors, non-toxic colors, crayons, all these things. Henry Ford became personal friends with Carver, being fascinated with his method of deriving rubber from a milkweed. Mr. Ford tried many times to get Dr. Carver to join him in business in Michigan, but Dr. Carver was committed to helping people in the South. You see, he knew where he should go for the blessings to flow. And sometimes what we do is we look for the most comfortable place in town.
But maybe God's got a new plan for you. Because sometimes we need a little bit of the desert, or need a little bit of the places that are torn out, burned out, kept out, so that it can trigger the blessing of Abraham on our lives. Because it is on your life.
Hallelujah.
But I watch what he told Isaac. He said, don't go down to Egypt. Stay up here in this famine. And I'm going to show you something.
Hallelujah.
I watch what he did to Joseph. He led him over there to the biggest crook in town named Laban. But he had a plan for him. He was going to have Laban to transfer his business into Jacob's hand.
Yes,
you see, sometimes God wants to keep a person at that job because he's got plans for the person to take the company.
No, y'all ain't listening to me now. We're coming into a time which is the end time. And there's an end time anointing on everybody in here. Now, in that same picture where he pulled those fish in, he pulled in enough fish that he knew in the natural he couldn't have gotten all those fish if he had fished for a year. But God just shrunk a year down to an hour. Come on now. We have been programmed with a time consciousness because that is the way the world is run. But once we come into the kingdom, we have some new benefits. We, by faith, can override time.
Yes. All right.
Come on over to Amos chapter 9, please. I won't take it to Ephesians where it says redeem the time, because you can gather that for yourself. But look at Amos. Now, this is the one I meditated on to get a hold of this truth for myself. Now, say meditation, somebody.
Meditation.
Because in meditation, the Holy Spirit paints a picture of truth in your heart. And he makes it so that you could see things that people who didn't meditate can't see. Am I right about it, Doc? I'm not going to take much time here because I want to catch us up. Look what it says over in Amos chapter 9, verse 13. This is a scripture to meditate, to understand our dominion over time. Now, he says here, he says, behold, the days, verse 13, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that what? Sow seed. Now, as far as you and I know, it's seed time and what? Harvest. But listen at the Jerusalem translation. The harvest follows directly after plowing, and the treadering of grapes soon after sowing. So it's kind of interesting, and you know, I taught it the other day where I'm teaching now on redeemed from death in my Reality of Redemption series. And I was showing them where, because of Adam's sin, Adam broke his relationship with God, took on a new nature. And where Adam formed was functioning in a full spectrum of reality. The Bible says when they both ate that fruit, their eyes became open and they knew that they were naked. They didn't see it. They knew that they were naked. But they were naked all the time. Now, the glory of God was there, but they were naked all the time in the natural. But they couldn't see that because what was dominating their sight is that which they could see with their spirit and not what they could see with their natural. Once they sinned, the natural became dominant. And that's what they saw. Now, once Jesus came, Jesus' job was to bring the kingdom, but to reconnect us up back with heaven and make it so we get something called revelation. So revelation is being able to see beyond the natural into the supernatural. natural, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, what we need to do is develop this again, of course, because there is things that we can actually see beyond this. So, when the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam, and Adam was a federal head of the human race, and because he sinned, the Bible says sin or death passed to all men. So now here comes the last Adam, and he didn't get his seed from a woman. He got it from God. God put the seed in the woman, and the woman supplied the body, and God supplied the seed. So now here's Jesus, and Jesus is born in this earth, but now he's going around demonstrating how the first Adam operated, how the first Adam could live in dominion over this earth. And sometimes we see that and don't see Jesus as our role model. And what I was showing them is that the Bible says Jesus was perfected in those things which he learned or he obeyed. So it's through his obedience was he perfected. Now, if he was talking about God, God is already perfect. So you don't have to perfect God. But I'm telling you that because God, as Bishop pointed out, that Adam wasn't born perfect. He was born innocent. And so now what God has to do with us, we're born innocent, but he's perfecting us in our obedience. So now here is Jesus, and Jesus now has got to die for all of mankind. Now, nobody took his life. Jesus gave his life. And so now he's on the cross, and the thief on the right side or left side says, hey, you know, I want to be with you in your kingdom or whatever have you. And Jesus says, hey, this day you'll see me, we'll meet in paradise or something like that. Well, the way it's written there in the Greek, there is different from the Greek. It's a little bit mistranslation. It's talking about he'll meet him today. I'm telling you, I'll meet you in paradise. So what he did was Jesus died. Now, once Jesus died, he gave up the ghost. Once he gave up the ghost, he went to hell, according to Acts chapter 2, and he suffered the pains of death. Now, the penalty for sin was death, eternal death, not a little bit of death, all of it. Now, Jesus had to pay that price, so Jesus had to go to hell. But he told his disciples, he uses faith now to dominate time. He said, I'm going, but in 3 days, I'm coming back up. Am I right about it? So what did he do? He paid an eternal price. But what did he use his faith to do? Shrink eternity down to 3 and came up again. Once he came up, he was the first man born again from death to life. Once he came up, then he defeated the devil, took back everything that the devil stole from the first Adam, come on now, and made it so that we are joint heirs with him. Everything that he got, we got too. I'm not talking about 50-50, I'm talking about 100-100. Now, God wants us to walk in that dominion. He wants us to manifest the kingdom here in this earth. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute, I thought the kingdom of God is coming in the book of Revelation. It is coming in the book of Revelation. But that's the physical kingdom that will come down out of heaven. But meanwhile, the kingdom of God is in you. It's in you and me and anybody else that's been born again. Now, watch this. This is the heavy part about it. This kingdom is given to us, glory to God. This kingdom is given to us to provide for us everything in this earth that we have need of, independent of what's going on around us. So I had to learn how to operate in that kingdom, how to use the kingdom of God to take the word of God, put it in my heart, let that word of God come alive in my heart. Once it does come alive, out of my mouth, the abundance of my heart will speak. Once it comes out, here it's coming out with kingdom power, and now it's changing something in this earth. Now, this is what happened to me, and this is where this got here and so forth. I have learned to take the word of God, to meditate the word of God, get my heart filled with the word of God, change the image on the side of me, transform my belief, then speak the word of God. And once I speak the word of God, then the authority of God goes to work in this earth and transforms anything that I am speaking. So this is the way God has taught me. Now, let me tell you one more thing. Let's go to Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 4, please. One more thing. Mark chapter 4. Okay, in Mark chapter 4, this is when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples. Now, he had preached on the parable of the sower, and now he's on the boat with the disciples, and they're going over to the other side. And a storm came up. Look at verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said to him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" All right. Let me just give you a couple of things. Without revelation, without revelation, without revelation, you have problems separating from the world. Without revelation, you have problems separating from the world. I realize this is one of the enemy's real tricks, is to keep you make you friends with the world. But to be friendship with the world is to be a what of God? An enemy of God. So the enemy is trying to reduce the church to the level of natural man so that he can govern him. Without revelation, you can be deceived. Without revelation, you can be deceived. You saw that in Paul's life when Paul, of course, was on the Damascus Road. And what happened to Paul is Paul got stricken by the light from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. And Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus who you're persecuting." So Paul, even though he knew more scripture than probably anybody in here, he was deceived. So just knowing the word of God, the Logos, is not enough. You've got to get a rhema. You've got to get a revelation. Without revelation, you end up manipulating people. Glory to God. When the pressure comes on, the tendency is you may manipulate people. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but a lot of people do because they have no revelation. Without revelation, you cannot release spiritual power. You need some revelation to release some spiritual power. And without revelation, you have no access to the eternal. Without revelation, you have no access to the eternal. Now, let's just show you one more place. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46, please. Isaiah chapter 46. Now, I'm just asking a question. This is the question that Gideon asked. He said, "If the Lord be with us, where are all his miracles?" Because the Taliban and all them folk, they need some miracles. I mean, these terrorists, they need to see something bigger than that Islam God that they're busy serving. And look what it says here. And this is Isaiah 46 and verse 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Or another translation says, "All that I say will come to pass." So everything that God is going to do for us, he's already done. And everything that God said is going to come to pass. Now, I took those two in my life. And the only thing I want to find out is, am I in your perfect will? Lord, am I in your will? Because I know if I'm in his will, I'm just listening for his voice. I want him to tell me what to do next. I don't want to have to guess it out. I don't want to make any decision based on presumption. I want to, or money, because money will try to make you make some crazy decisions. And so I don't want to do that. And so I'm going out of here believing that I can walk in the supernatural. I can live on a dominion or on a level in the kingdom of God that mere men cannot live in. And I want to manifest this in our lives. I said Satan, one of his favorite strategies is to keep you in the level of mere men, to contain us. And one of his other strategies is to keep us begging or blaming. Another strategy is to keep us fearful or intimidated. Another strategy is to keep us with false teachers or doctrines of devils. Another strategy is to try to keep us fighting our own battles. And another strategy is to try to keep us without revelation knowledge. So today, all the thing I wanted to talk to you about is the fact of revelation, that God has wanted us, the church. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I just have gotten the success in my life, and the excellence of ministry has come through one word. I get one word from God, and when he gives me, when I was down in seminary, I had taken what I considered too many classes, and I was wondering how I was going to get a decent grade in all those. I'd kind of overloaded myself, and the next thing I did is I went, and God gave me a word. I said, Lord, what do I do now? He said, get the word. I said, what word? He said, why don't you go and find your word? And I found a word that says the memory of the righteous is what? It's blessed. I took that word and meditated that word. And at a certain point, first the ear grows, the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. The next thing I know, God spoke to me audibly. I mean, I heard it out loud. He said, declare what you want. I said, all right. I want 4 A's and 3 B's in Jesus' name. Now, I didn't want to overtax God, so I didn't say all A's. So I said 4 A's and 3 B's. But when I said that, something happened in the spirit. Why? Because I believed and I spoke. And this is what the old Jews, even the ones now that you see dressed in black, they know the power of the spoken word. And that's why they get up in the morning and read those words toward Jerusalem, because they know the power of those words. So I'm just saying it's not hard, very simple, but I don't think it meant to be that we have all the word going forth without some demonstration. I think the people are looking to see Jesus. They're looking to see something that they've never seen before, something that would catch their attention. True enough, it draws their senses. But once you get their senses in Peter, like he was drawn through that miracle of catching those fish, he fell to his knees. He was astonished. Even a person who had grown up in the Jewish faith, he was astonished. And he said, Peter, no longer are you going to catch a fish, but you're going to catch men. And the Bible says Peter left everything he had. I'm telling you, what they are doing now with some of those people who strap bombs on them, they're actually telling them that if they go ahead and commit suicide, that they're going to get some heavenly blessing, and they're going to have some, the guy's going to have women putting grapes down their mouth, you know, and all that. Some crazy stuff. But do you know what? What they're doing with them is they're painting a glorious hope. If you ever do that in a person's life, you can lead masses. But you have to know how to do that, how to structure it. That's what they were doing with the black Muslims in Chicago and in New York. They were painting that. Elijah Muhammad was very good at painting that. That's when Farrakhan and them took over. They can't paint that picture that well, and they're losing members. People are looking for a hope. They're looking for something beyond what they are right now. And if they see it and that picture is clear enough, they'll leave everything to get it. Did you get something out of that? Praise God. All right. We now, Sister Kim, where are we?